Jesus. And yeah, I hope you'll bear with me as I get used to this. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God of victory. Lord, that you have overcome the grave. And Lord, I just ask as I speak today, Lord, that you would remind us of your goodness and kindness. You would remind us of your tender mercies toward us. Lord, I just ask that you, your Holy Spirit would come and stir our hearts today. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. So, yeah, this is new for me. Thank you guys for being here today. I'm super excited to share my testimony with you. So there was a day not too long ago that Jerry was sitting in his post-hospital doctor's office visit with his primary care physician here in Pagosa Springs. And she's listening to his lungs, and she's shaking her head. And I said to her, "They're better than they were before COVID, aren't they?" And she said, "Yes, and I have no explanation." But we have an explanation for that, don't we? So I'm here today to share my testimony, but really, you guys, this is your testimony as much as it is mine. You guys should... Whoops. That's all right. You guys share in this testimony as much as me, and it's a testimony of God's faithfulness, goodness, and mercy. And I just want you to know that you're as much a part of this. For those of you who may be newer here and weren't here earlier this spring, in a nutshell, just to catch you up, Jerry and I got COVID early spring. Jerry ended up in the hospital on a ventilator. He went into the hospital on February 25th, and he came out on May 28th, got home May 28th. During that time, he was near death much of the time. And in fact, we were told multiple times that he would, in fact, die. But God, in his infinite mercy, stirred all of you to walk alongside of us. And there was a very real shadow of death that we were walking through. And together we have come out on the other side. And I just want to share some things. So there are about four things that I want to share with you today that the Lord impressed on me during this time. Number one, walking without fear. Number two, have faith in his promises. Number three, together we strengthen each other's faith. And number four, we have gifts to share. I'm sharing a lot from texts that I sent or received and my journal. And I'm doing that because I want you guys to understand that I struggled. I struggled during this time. I don't have all this figured out, and I'm still in process. So number one, not walking in fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So early in, back if you can remember, back when COVID was just starting to be a thing, like you were just starting to hear about it, I remember one day Jerry turned to me and he said, "I'm pretty sure we're going to get this, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up in the hospital on a ventilator." And I was like, "What? Really?" Like, I was kind of like, "Really?" But we talked about it a little bit, and we determined at that point that we were going to choose not to walk in fear. No matter what happened, no matter what was going on, God did not call us to walk in a spirit of fear, and we were going to choose not to do that. So we were going to choose to live our lives as God was calling us to do, and that's what we proceeded to do. So there was a time, much later than that, where and back in 2020, where we did have to shut down for a period of time. And even our church shut down for a few weeks, and we were meeting in small groups in our homes. We had a group that met at our home during that time, and there were some really rich times during that time. But I remember specifically, as all of that was happening, Justin gave us an admonition during that time. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember this specifically. There were a lot of things starting to come up on the internet, and here we were going to be at home and, you know, even listening to sermons at home on, you know, on the internet and stuff. And he challenged us to, and he said, if you listen to any of these other voices out there, good or bad, like there was a lot of good voices out there, but if you chose to listen to those, that you need to spend twice as much time in the Word hearing what God is saying. And I remember really taking that to heart. And so many times during 2020, I had people, good-intentioned people, maybe even really good messages that they were listening to, send me things and say, listen to this, it's so good, or, you know, have you heard about this and everything. And so very few did I listen to. I'm sorry if you were one of those people that sent me something, but I really didn't, because I was like, I don't have time to spend twice, listen to this and then spend twice as much time in the Word listening to what God's saying, so I'm just not going to listen to it, you know. And I'm telling you guys, I feel like that decision on my part, that self-discipline on my part, really protected me from getting seeds of fear and doubt rooted in my heart. And it allowed me to hear God more clearly because of that decision that I made, and listening to Justin's admonition. So, and I feel like that was a real preparation for the times that were ahead for me that I had no idea about. Number two, have faith in His promises. So back when we got sick, we got COVID, and several of us got COVID, I think, in this congregation about the same time. And we were at home doing our things, and actually it was, you know, I mean, we're sick, not too bad. After about a week, we started feeling a lot better. But all of a sudden, Jerry's oxygen levels plummeted one night. And I remember calling Tara and saying, gosh, his oxygen levels are at this, and what do you think? She goes, this is not good. I don't know. And I talked to Jerry, and he was like, no, let's try some things. Let's do some things, see if we can kind of push through. And we did. We were able to kind of get his oxygen levels up. By the next morning, Jerry said, I need to go to the hospital. I can't function. So dropped him off. Okay, this is COVID, you guys. If you didn't know, you don't get to go in with your loved ones in the hospital. It doesn't happen, right? So I had to drop him off at Pagosa Springs Hospital, the ER. They come out in the hazmat suit, you know, and come to the car and take him. And, you know, I don't get to see him again. Like, he's there. In my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he just needs a little bit of oxygen. He's going to go in. They're going to do something, and then he'll be home in a few hours, right? That's what was going through my mind. Well, within 3 hours, they had him in an ambulance going to the ICU in Durango. So I remember thinking, as I was hearing this, that he was going to Durango to the ICU, I'm thinking, this is kind of a much bigger thing than what I'm imagining, right? And I heard the Lord say to me, lay the fight down. Lay the fight down. And I had this image of me standing there with this old kind of weapon, and it was like I heard the Lord say that, and it was like, I'm laying the fight down. I don't know how to describe what that meant other than to say, I felt like it was, lay it down, Bonnie, I've got this. Do not resist or fight this circumstance. And I've been in other situations where I have resisted my circumstances and fought the Lord on it. And it was like I knew when he said, lay the fight down, I could not go there again. I had to just lay the fight down. So that was a Thursday. And Jerry had a cell phone, but honestly, he texted a lot. We talked some on the phone. He was laboring so hard with his breath that he was like, that's how he was taking breath in, even with the oxygen that they were giving him. And so we didn't have tons of conversations, but on Saturday morning, so this is Thursday afternoon, he's taken over there. Saturday morning, he calls me and he said, I just want you to know that I think things are about to get a whole lot worse before they get better. And I was like, really? And not half an hour later, the doctor came in and said they wanted to put him on a vent. So Jerry called me, we talked about it, and he told me that. We weren't on the phone very long at that time, and I remember hanging up the phone, and you guys, I lost it. I had a full-on panic attack, couldn't breathe. I called my friend Linda in Kansas City. I said, please pray, this is what they're telling him. I was a mess. And so she prayed with me. I kind of got myself back together. It's like, okay, Lord, okay, I'm laying the fight down. It's like, I'm okay, right? So Jerry and I had a conversation throughout the day, off and on. And I think Jerry had already made the decision that he was going to go on the vent, but he was just waiting for me to be okay with it. And So we kind of talked, and I remember asking him that day, will you survive this? And very confidently, he said to me, yes, I will. And you guys, I knew at that moment that that was a promise from the Lord through my husband that he was going to survive this. I knew it. I sent a text to my friend that night that said, I'm going to bed. Sounds like the ventilator is going to happen in the morning, unless there is a miracle tonight. But we both think this is the place the Lord is taking him. I keep thinking of Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. So Sunday morning came, and he informed the doctor that, yes, he was going to give permission to go on the vent. And things happened so quickly, you guys. It was like I was at home, you know, we were talking. The doctor came in. He told him, and it was like they were ready. They were like, okay, say your goodbyes. And then I'm like on the phone going, what, what? You know, and we kind of had to say goodbye. And they, within 15 minutes, they had him in a coma on a ventilator. And that was right when church was starting that Sunday. And I was texting Justin as this was happening, going, this is happening, and like he's going to go on the vent and all this stuff, and it literally was right as church was starting, and Justin's texting me back, and I'm texting him saying, I'm really struggling a little bit with this, and Justin texted me back, and this is what he texted me. He said, there are times when you have no strength, that you need to rest in the strength of the saints on your behalf. This may be one of those times. You are not meant to carry Jerry's cause alone. Love you, Bonnie. Have confidence that we will relentlessly be offering the strength on your behalf to the Lord in this time. You guys, I cried as you guys prayed for him so fervently that morning and so powerfully. I was at home crying. A friend sent me the song It Is Well, and I probably listened to that 100 times a day. It seemed like, maybe not, but I cried to that song over and over again for several days. There's a line in that song that says, far be it from me to not believe, even though my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Every time I started to take my focus off the Lord, I played that song, and that ministered to me so much. That first week on the event, several things happened that helped my faith grow. That Sunday morning, when just after Jerry got on the event, Ben Franklin, you guys all prayed, and Ben Franklin got up. I don't know if you remember this, Ben. And he got up in front of the whole congregation and he said, Jerry's going to be just fine. And it's like, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not the only one that's like believing that Jerry's going to come through this, you know. On Sunday evening, that Sunday evening, Roger Perry called me. And he shared a vision that he had with me. And he said, and Roger was one of the ones who had COVID about the same time we did, and he was still recovering too. And he said he was resting, he was laying in the afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, he was laying down on the floor kind of playing with his dog, and he fell asleep. And he said he woke up, and he said he felt this peace beyond comprehension. He just felt this peace and rest that was so beautiful, like he had never experienced before. And he said he started looking around, and he was in a hospital room and a hospital bed and seeing all these machines. And then all of a sudden he goes, this isn't me, this is Jerry. And he said at that moment he actually woke up, and he's hot, he's, you know, coughing and hacking and everything. He's going, I want to go back where Jerry's at. So he called me and shared that with me. Early in that week, too, one morning I woke up and I had this urgency from the Lord. And the Lord was saying, you need to prepare for Jerry to come home. And I'm like, well, what do I need to do to prepare for Jerry to come home? And there were some specific things. We had had a bathroom downstairs that was completely, like, not really usable and had been that way for a while. And we had gotten all the materials, but it just hadn't gotten fixed and done. And also, I felt like the Lord was saying, we need railings on the stairs coming up to the porch. So I'm like, okay. So I called Rory that day, and I said, Rory, can you help me hire somebody to come get these things done? I feel a real urgency from the Lord that I'm supposed to be preparing for Jerry to come home. And so he had somebody at my house that afternoon to start the bidding process and stuff. Gail shared a vision with me that week that she had of Jerry and a young Jackson Fry. Jackson had just been born shortly after Jerry went on the ventilator. And she had this vision of Jackson as maybe a six-year-old, seven-year-old, in a field with Jerry, and there were some horses there, and there was something really important that Jerry was communicating to Jackson about the horses, and she shared that vision with me. So many people were praying and sharing with me that they felt like Jerry was going to be fine. Over and over again, I received different things. So that week, the Lord gave me this verse in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I spent a lot of time meditating about that verse that week. I looked up what sure meant. And I think about sure of what we hope for. Sure means confident in what one thinks or knows, having no doubt, and certain, which the verse talks about being certain of what we do not see. Certain means know for sure, established beyond doubt, having complete conviction about. And I really meditated and took that verse into my heart. I wrote in my journal on that Friday night, there was a prayer session that I was at, and I wrote in my journal the following. Why do I have faith that Jerry will live through this time of COVID? God is faithful. Jerry was confident going in. Roger's vision of peace and healing, Sunday prayer, Ben Franklin's confidence, Gail's vision of Jerry and Jackson, Kelly Betts' confidence, Chase's confidence, prayers of the saints, feeling the need to prep for him to come home, confidence of the medical staff, Mike and Linda's confidence, they're my friends in Kansas City. All of those things, that was why I could stand and say, I am confident that Jerry is going to come home. I have faith that Jerry is going to come home. Number three, together we strengthen each other's faith. So on Saturday, so I'm writing this in my journal Friday. On Saturday, Jerry had been on the vent a week. Now, when he went on the vent, the doctors were all like, you know, you're in good shape, you're doing good. We think we'll put the vent in. It'll be a couple of weeks. We know what we're doing. We're good. We've got this, right? So that was the medical staff confidence. So that Saturday, Gail and Roger had invited me over for dinner, and Kelly Betts was there. And I don't know if Kelly remembers, but we had a lot of conversation that night about faith and what that looks like, and confidence, and just this whole conversation, really. Like, that was kind of the whole dinner conversation, right, Kelly? And I remember feeling so confident, and I remember Kelly even asking me, how are you so confident? And we kind of talked about, you know, just what the Lord had showed me through the week and stuff. So on my way home, I stopped at a stop sign. I don't know if you guys do this, but, you know, my phone had been kind of off, and I stopped at a stop sign. I pulled my phone out and looked. I had 2 missed calls from the hospital and 1 missed call from my youngest son, and I'm thinking to myself, this cannot be good. And at that moment, my phone rang, and it was my youngest son, and he says, Mom, I need you to get in the car and drive to Durango right now. They just called. Both of Dad's lungs have collapsed, and they don't think he's going to live through the night. And he says, can you get somebody to drive you? And this is like around 8 o'clock at night, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I think so. She said, I'm hanging up. You need to get there. So before I even got home, I'm calling Roger and Gail back, and I said, this is what's happened. Roger, can you drive me over? And he says, sure. So we quickly got my car dropped off and headed to Durango. I remember we called the hospital staff, and they put the phone next to Jerry's ear. And we talked and prayed with him until we lost cell service. You know that happens on the way to Durango. So we get to the hospital, and they usher us in like it was weird, you guys. I mean, this is COVID, and they're ushering. Didn't even question Roger who he was. Ushered us right in. We got there, and they were still trying to get Jerry's lungs reinflated. And they put us in a waiting room, and a doctor came in. And he comes in, and he's shaking his head. And there are some nurses there, and the surgeon is working on Jerry. And he says, Bonnie, it's bad. We don't know what happened, but his one lung collapsed, and we were reinflating it. Then the other one collapsed, and they both collapsed. It's like, this doesn't happen, and this is really bad, and it looks really, really bad. I'm so sorry. And I turned to him, and I said, are you a believer? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, I don't think Jerry's going to die. And he said, I don't think he is either. Now, I think he's probably the only medical staff in that hospital that thought that, but he did think that. So it wasn't too long. We got into the room and walked in. And it was interesting because we walked in and the nurse was really prickly. And she was like, you can't be in here. You're not supposed to be in here. And we technically weren't supposed to be in there. The hospital in Durango chooses, thank God, they choose to break the rules when somebody is dying, and the rules that say you can't come in, and they allow you to have somebody come into the room. And so they were breaking the rules to let us in. I really believe that God supernaturally ushered us into that room. I think there were some things that needed to happen as far as changing the whole atmosphere of the place. And Roger will attest to this as we were there, like throughout the night. The nurse's attitude changed. There was just a whole atmosphere change in that room, in that ICU room. I remember sitting down next to the bed and holding on to Jerry's hand and feeling an invitation from the Lord to sit with the Lord and pray over him throughout the night, much like the invitation was given to the disciples to pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I was like, man, I'm not a good person that doesn't fall asleep, but I determined I was going to sit with the Lord and be praying for Jerry that night. Roger had to leave in the middle of the night. And I continued to pray. And the next morning was Sunday morning, and Jerry was still alive. And I turned on the Facebook page where everybody was, you know, the live service was going. And the worship team was on. And I remember Rory and Erica, and there were some other people on the worship team. I think Mark was on the worship team. And they were singing, as I turned it on, God of Revival. And there's a line in that song that says, "The darkest night you can light up. You can light it up, O God. O God of Revival. Let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won, O God of Revival." And you guys were praying for Jerry, and my hope was so alive because of you. So, Jerry didn't die. Now the hospital has a dilemma, because I'm not really supposed to be there. And if I left, they told me I couldn't come back in, so I refused to leave. So now I'm living in an ICU room with an open-air toilet and a sink. They brought in a recliner that kind of reclined for me to sleep on. And they are desperately trying to figure out how to get rid of me. So I texted Justin the next day this. "Doc this morning is a different doc, and he is not very encouraging. He is asking me about end-of-life procedure and says odds are not in his favor. I told him I believe God will heal him and bring him through. I could tell he's not buying it. It's hard to be with people who only see the clinical. Every staff change is a new challenge. Some are more gentle than others. They basically set the rules that I cannot leave and come back, so I'm here. There's going to be a fine line between what I can manage to tolerate here and when Jerry is stable enough for me to be able to leave." So God gave me specific prayers to pray, and I know all of you received that were on the prayer chain and in the network, received some of these prayers, and one of them was new wineskin lungs. Jerry's lungs were failing. They had reinflated them, to their surprise that they were still hanging in there. But they kept saying to me, "Bonnie, his lungs are so brittle and full of holes, and it's just a matter of time before they fail again." And every breath that the vent was putting in him, there were times that it was too much. It was like breaking his lungs, and there would be new holes that would come about in his lungs. And I had that vision from the Lord that we needed to be praying for new wineskin lungs. There was new breath that God was putting in his body, and his old lungs were not able to handle it. They were just breaking down, and he needed new wineskin lungs. So we all prayed. I know Jessica Searle texted me And she said, I keep getting a picture of Jesus placing his nail-pierced hands over the holes in Jerry's lungs and then pulling his hand back, and they're healed and closed up. On Tuesday morning, at 5:38 a.m., I am texting this message. Pray. Something is happening. They are working in emergency mode. Lung collapsing again. Help, Lord. Need a miracle now. I'm out of the room now, all gowned up in a spare room. The doc is here. It is very dicey. So the doc, they moved me to a different room, which I wasn't supposed to leave the room, but whatever. Moved me to a different room. The doctor comes in, and this is what he tells me. He says, you need to prepare for your husband to die, because he will die today. His kidneys are failing, and he's dying. And it's going to happen today. And I said to him, I said, you know, what you don't understand is I've already prepared for my husband to die. I prepared for him to die when I dropped him off at the hospital. And I said, I know that everything you are seeing medically is telling you he has no hope, he has no chance, and he's going to be gone today. But you have to understand that I have a God over here that's telling me something quite different. And I don't think my husband's going to die. But I said, I give you this promise. If my husband dies today, I will not go screaming through the hospital like a raving lunatic, okay? He thought I was crazy. I'm just saying, he thought I was crazy. And so I asked him if I could apply essential oils. I'd been kind of sneaking them on anyway, but now I had full, he gave me full permission to do that. And he's dying again. So somebody else can come be with me at the hospital. So the doctor left, and I called Gail, and I said, Gail, Jerry's supposedly dying again, so I can have somebody come pray with me. I said, who do you think I should get? And she said, I think you should call Rory. And I said, that is exactly who I was thinking about. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, I call Rory, and I tell Rory the situation. I say, They are telling me Jerry's going to die today. And I was probably crying, I'm sure. And I said, I don't want to be here by myself. Can you come? And Roy said, I'm on my way. And he came. And I think I've shared with you before kind of that day. Roy came and we prayed. There were lots of prayers, different people called. We'd put the phone up to Jerry. And, you know, even though he's in a coma, I'm sure he heard, and lots of things happening. Thank you, Rory, for being there that day. That was a good day. It was a good day. And Jerry lived. Rory went home. Jerry lived. The next day, the next morning, I sent this text. Jerry was stable all night, and kidneys are upgraded from failing to severely injured. Chest x-ray this morning was some improved, still showing COVID and weakness. They are watching for signs of collapse again, clinically all very tenuous, but he is alive, and I believe God can and will heal in his good timing. I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit impatient in this process. You guys were there for us in a huge way. So many prayer warriors in this body. I know Erica, I probably called Erica every day that I was in that ICU room. And she talked to me in her busy mama mode, talked to me, and shared with me the beauty of praising God through song when you have no prayers left. That was huge for me, huge. Lisa Burgess made many trips to my house looking for clothes and oils and books and stuff to put in backpacks, looking for backpacks in my messy house. And driving over to Durango and dropping them off. Neil made several runs to Durango with more things that I needed. I would think of different things every day. And Neil also picked up my son who flew in that week. After a week, I left the hospital to come home. I finally felt like I couldn't stay any longer. And we continued to pray. Most days in the ICU, if you don't know what an ICU is like, there are people in the room almost 24/7, nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists and everybody else. And every day is filled with minor and major crises that happened. And there are beeps that go off, and I learned all the different equipment that he was on, and I knew when those beeps happened, how serious those were. Jerry had to have major surgery on his lungs the next week. And the surgeon in that case, the surgeon called me and said, we're going to have to go in. We can't keep his lung reinflated. He's got a major hematoma. You guys prayed. And this doctor, he said, Bonnie, I'm just going to tell you, this is not my area of expertise. We have no thoracic surgeon here. He said, I am willing to do the surgery, but it is outside my comfort zone. And I felt a peace, like I just knew that God wanted him to do it. I said, you're my man. You're doing the surgery. And he did, and it was great. One night, I went to bed, and I was missing Jerry so much. By this time, we hadn't spoken for a month, and I've never gone that long. We've been married 43 years. I've never gone that long not talking to my husband. And I missed him so much. And you guys, the Lord gave me a dream that night, and we were sitting and talking and visiting and laughing, and Jerry was whole, and I remember waking up and just thinking, the Lord is so kind. He's so kind to know just what we need at the moment we need it. I spent a lot of time meditating on Psalm 23 and why the rod and the staff comfort. I felt like I was walking on a road of peace, and if I could just stay on that road of peace, everything was fine. After 2 weeks, they finally allowed me to come and go from the hospital and visit him. And even though he was still in a coma on a vent, I drove every single day to the hospital and spent all day long at the hospital at his bedside and drove home every night. And I did that every day until he was released. There were weeks that life-threatening infection raged through his body nonstop. He continued to need pints of blood because he just kept leaking blood out. He had blood clots. He had a tracheotomy put in, and as they started waking him up, he suffered from severe drug-induced hallucinations. His muscles wasted away, and when he finally woke, he was only able to move one finger and move his head slightly. And our God was faithful through all of it, you guys. Number four, we all have gifts to share. You guys continue to pray fervently for us, even the kids. Everett Searle and Declan Burnett insisted on regularly praying for Mr. Jerry. Lila Fry had her whole class praying daily for Jerry. Garrett Fry insisted on praying at every meal for Jerry. The Cheesy kids regularly asked me how Jerry was doing and when he would come home. Many evenings when I was lonely and by myself, I would call up Tasha and Matt and say, hey, can I come over? And the answer was always yes. And I would go over and we would just have the best times laughing and praying and talking. Those were life-giving moments for me. Gail and Roger had me over regularly, and I often called Tara and Justin and said, I just need to come over and hold the baby and get some cuddles, and they were always up for that. Our life group came together and they came over and helped rearrange the rooms in my house and move furniture so we could prepare for Jerry to come home and have a hospital room in the middle of our living room. A group of guys came over and built a ramp so that we could get Jerry into the house on a wheelchair. And you guys kept steady in your perseverance of prayer. And not just this congregation, but people all over the world by this time were praying fervently for Jerry. And often would send me verses or songs that the Lord put on your heart. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to him belongs deliverance from death. Psalm 68:19-20, somebody sent me. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. Psalm 55:18. Jessica sent me a text one day sharing the story of Lazarus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Gail shared Matthew 11:28-29. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Kelly Betts shared a C.C. Wyand's I Believe song with me, and I played that many days in the hospital for Jerry. Joseph worked on my bathroom, kept me company the 2 weeks I was home, and he prayed for us daily. Many of you came up to me at church. Some of you I didn't know very well. I just knew your face and shared how you were praying. I remember Robbie Parker came up one day and shared with me that earlier that week, Dave had felt a real burden to fast and pray for Jerry. Mary Sue drove to the hospital and sat in the parking lot and prayed because she just wanted to be closer. Our friends in Kansas City prayed daily and talked to me every day as I drove to and from the hospital. They also kept a network of hundreds of friends outside of Pagosa updated daily. Thank you, Mike and Linda. Tara and Breezy were always there to give me nursing advice and help decipher the medicalese that I didn't understand. My friend and business partner basically ran my business for several months while I stepped away. Thank you, Kara. Brady King visited Jerry in the hospital a couple of days before he was released to give me a break from the drive to the hospital for one day. Erica, you can come on up. You guys, we need each other. We need to share our gifts with one another as the Lord leads. Gifts of encouragement, words of knowledge, prophecy, hospitality, service, wisdom, faith, all these things were gifts that you guys shared during this time. And we need to continue to do this for one another. Toward the end of Jerry's hospital stay, the Lord gave me this verse. It's in James 1:2-4. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. You guys, I pray that we are getting ready for anything. Because of you, because of people prayed, God had the victory, and he has all the glory and the miracle of Jerry standing here. Thank you, church family, for being there for us. At it's meant so much to us. So I ask Erica to sing this song, and you guys can join in. And I invite you to let go and trust in the Lord with the fears and the doubts and maybe the mountains that you are currently facing.
His name, the waves and wind, Bless you as you go.